like playing for Mike Ditka, a Hall of Fame tight end, when you played his position? Was there more pressure on you?
Well, you know, it's the first thing he looks at every time he looks at the film is the tight end position. But the funny thing is now he really appreciates what I did back then today.
Yeah.
And we were all in not good enough or, you know, working hard to get his praise when we're playing, but now he loves us all.
But you know what, too, is you got to remember, Emery came in as a wide receiver, kick returner, and ate himself into a tight end.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys can eat themselves into a tight end, but can they do the physical portion of the job that goes along with it after moving from a wide receiver type?
Yeah, I was a wide out. Well, it really was to my advantage because it helped my releases on the line. I'm going against linebackers and strong safeties, which were very easy after playing wide receiver. And when I started playing tight end, I was 215 pounds the first year.
That's crazy.
So, you know, Dick always looked to replace me every year, another tight end draft, another one came in. But in the end, you know.
You had that veteran savvy. You had to want to also, because number one, you had to block on this team.
And
that takes a certain constitution. Yeah. You got to be wanting and willing to do
that. You know,
when
I grew up in Evanston, and we had a great coach in Mernie Lazier who lost less games than years that he coached at Evanston. He coached for 18 years and lost 17 games. Wow. And he was very big on the fundamentals of blocking and technique. And so I had to go back and rely on some of that. And then Coach Dicker gave me tips. And then our offensive line coach, Dick Stanfield, was just excellent.
Yep. And I've heard you in other interviews and even read it in quotes where you said Coach Dicker taught you a lot. What specifically? I've never heard really what you feel he brought to you in terms of techniques, fundamentals. What was the singular thing that you remember?
The singular thing he really put on myself and everybody else was pay attention to the little things. It's an open step here. It's a lead step here. Those little things save you a second. And that second, it makes a difference between a 2-yard gain and a 10-yard gain. Plus, having Walter Payton on the team, he's going to break through any kind of arm tackles or any kind of reaching and everything. So you really just get in front, pay it, and just get busy with somebody, and Walter would bust through.
You know, one thing I wanted to revisit is you said Coach Dicka looked to replace you. Coach Dicka looked to replace every one of us. But I think that was why we played and practiced so hard, because we always knew we had that trailing us. And when we went to practice, we had to perform like a game-type atmosphere. When we went out there and going through one-on-ones against McMichael or whatever, you had to go out there and compete at the highest level. And that's what I think that's the great thing about sports, is every day you came in here with the fact knowing that you had to bring your best, because the evaluation process you're going through was every day, not every Sunday.
Yeah, the competing, like Tom said, that was the thing. We competed every day against the guy. And when you're going against the Bears 85 defense every day, and Otis Wilson is jumping around, and Wilbur Marshall's coming off the corner with tremendous speed.
Sundays are easy.
Yeah, they are. And you're trying to angle block down on Dan Hampton and McMichael. You know, those things make it easy on Sunday for you.
Did you ever tick anybody off at practice?
No, never, never. Only guy you could ever tick off was Hampton if you really tried to block him. He hated that if you tried to block him.
I've always wanted to ask you, there's this famous clip of they showed it on the scoreboard of Ditka just grabbing you and screaming you and sending you in to the game. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But I think what happened was he was mad at somebody else and he was just telling you the play. But it looked on the screen, I believe it was in Detroit, he was just screaming and yelling at you and smashed you into the game.
Well, what happened, we were up in Detroit and we were a very good football team and Detroit was not. But like any team, if you give them a chance to play with you, they're going to play with you. And we were in the second half, I believe, and we were still battling Detroit. And we had brought in Doug Flutie. And in our offense, we were the only offense in the Dallas Cowboys offense because when you grow up, you play Pop Warner, you play high school, you play college. When you run to the right, those are even holes, 2, 4, 6, 8. And the odd holes are to your left. Well, in our offense, coming from Dallas, it was exactly the opposite. And Flutie was audibling plays at the line of scrimmage, and he was rolling out to the right, and the guards were pulling and rolling out to the left, and the receivers were going to the
modern
left.
Modern-day bootleg.
There's times I'm pulling this way, and I'm passing him going the opposite way. I'm going,
when that happens, you know it's not him, but for a split second, you think, did I miss something?
Yeah.
Or
do you start to get
that full body sweat going like
that's the inadequacies you can't afford in the timing of NFL offensive football. You can't have indecision by anybody. Even if I thought I was wrong and I hesitated for a second, beat.
Just hit somebody. But Flutie was just coming in on the team. And he reverted back to his old ways, and he was going the way he remembered. And so Dicka was just really just saying, don't tell him not to change the play, please.